Hey, good morning.
Hey, sleepy.
Hey, you ready to get up and go?
You want some breakfast?
All right, let's get the day started.
Let's go.
It's the Phantom Family Podcast.
Why, hello there, friends. I am Tori Phantom here with my husband, Jimothy.
That is me.
That is you. And we are hosting the Phantom Family Podcast.
Yes, we are. Thank you for joining us and hanging out with us and spending your time with the Phantom Family.
Yes, we are a family that you are now a part of. So you're welcome or sorry, whatever feels best for you.
Are they adopted? Are they in-laws? Are they new blood?
To be determined.
Okay, TBD.
Yeah, I don't really know. I think that's for the listener to decide how they want to relate to our family tree.
Okay, but what if they did decide they wanted to be new blood? Would they have to take our
blood? I am not really understanding what that term means, and I don't know that I want to. It's kind of spooky season.
Listen,
and you're into some weird things.
I've been doing a lot of vampire research, just making sure.
Of course,
honestly,
that's not shocking to me at all.
You got to stay on top of these things.
I remember back in the early 2000s using this one social media called Vampire Freaks.
Oh my goodness.
Did you ever use Vampire Freaks?
Never heard of it.
Yeah, I feel like it was a very 2006, 2007 thing for the real emos. Vampire Freaks was like MySpace for vampire
worst people.
Freaks. No. It was fun. It was fun. If you out there in the podcast world were a Vampire Freaks user, please let me know so that I can tell Jim it wasn't only me.
Vampire Freaks was previously a social networking site created by owner Jet Berylson in 1999. It began with a small number of forums dedicated to goth and industrial music. Over the years, it grew to be a large social network with thousands of members.
Thousands.
VampireFreaks.com.
Yeah.
It looks like it ended in 2019, maybe. It was a social media network and a clothing store. The social networking element was removed in February 2020. Man, COVID ruined everything.
For real. For real. But Vampire Freaks, I was on that.
Yeah, hit us up. If you were a former Vampire Freak, let us know. Hit us on the Twitters, on the
let us know.
Whatevers.
You can even let us know via voice message over on Anchor. We have a really cool thing on our Anchor landing page. Jim, what is the URL for that?
You can follow the link. Wherever you're listening to this, there is a link to the Anchor voice messaging page. But you can get there to anchor.fm. Well, hang on. I got to look it up now. anchor.fm/phantom-family-podcast. And it's all right there.
I hope you pulled out the notepad on your phone or listening device at this very moment to
Honestly,
write that down so you could send me a voice message and say, I was a vampire freak too. I hope at least one other person was.
You don't even have to use the notepad. Just whatever you're listening to this on, click on that. Click the description. There is a link in every description of every episode for this to get to that page.
Even if you don't want to tell us about Vampire Freaks, we still want to hear from you.
There's also a link to help support us financially on there. I don't want to, beg for money or anything, but we do have a new supporter this month.
Yeah,
Sienna Tipton.
Thank you
so much.
We love you.
You join the ranks.
We love you. We are trying to upgrade our podcasting situation. We have a weird studio. We'll have to take some pictures, post that to our socials. So
Tori, can I say thank you for calling this a studio?
We have a mixer and microphones. It's a studio.
It's a studio. We're going to call it a studio. We're going to go with that.
Yeah,
We're sticking to it.
We're trying to upgrade some things to make this easier on us and also to sound better for you. And so if you want to support, you can. And if you don't want to or can't, that's okay too. We're still glad you're here, friends.
Yes, yes, indeed. And you know what? We have a new sponsor.
We do
have a new sponsor. We are now sponsored by Audible. And if you want a free trial, if you've never used Audible before, all you got to do is log in with your Amazon account. Go to audibletrial.com/phantom, P-H-A-N-T-O-M, and you can get a free month of Audible. It gives you a free download for any book in the store. If you're a Prime member, I actually think it gives you 2 free books. So that's pretty cool.
That's
and
neat.
Then you get, after that, it's $14.99 a month, but it does give you a credit for any download in the store. Every month you get a new book.
And that is cheaper than buying a brand new hardcover book once a month at the bookstore.
Yes, it certainly is. All right, Tori. So, what are we talking about this week?
Respect.
R-E-S-P-E-C-T?
Find out what it means to me.
Wow, tone it down there. You're disrespecting my ears.
Okay, well, honestly, though, I wanted to talk about respect because I feel like a lot of folks, when they're talking about kids, it's like, how do I get them to be obedient? They're not respecting me. And I'm like, but how are you? What is respect to you? Like, honestly, like, find out what it means to you. But so here's what I did, Jim, to get ready for this show.
What'd you do?
I looked up the actual dictionary definition of respect.
What did old Merriam-Webster have to say about this?
It is a feeling of deep admiration for someone or something elicited by their abilities, qualities, or achievements. Another definition, regard for one's feelings, wishes, rights, or traditions, agreeing to recognize and abide by. So it's literally just like, hey, you do cool things and I like you. I respect you because of that, because you have shown me you are someone that I should respect, and now I respect you. And I think that's something that I really like to consider in parenting.
So what you're saying is respect is earned, not given.
Exactly. You can't demand respect. If you demand respect, you're likely only going to have someone pretend to respect you, but in all honesty, they might disrespect you behind your back.
Yeah, they're going to find pictures of you and draw fake mustaches on you.
Fake mustaches.
They're going to black out your teeth.
Or they're afraid of you.
Or they'll give pirate eye patches over your eye. They'll deface all your images.
Yeah, they're going to find your high school yearbooks.
Oh, my goodness. I keep mine locked up upstairs in my house. You're never going to find it.
They're on our bookshelf.
Unless you come over, I'll gladly show it to you because I was cool. I wasn't. I'm still not.
Yeah, you kind of look exactly the same, but now you have orange hair.
I have less hair and more orangish hair.
Yeah.
During the recording of this hair will age like milk, let me tell you.
Probably. But either way, I just thought this was a really interesting topic to discuss because I think the old school parenting methods kind of were like, demand respect from your kids. Like, do what I say because I said so.
Yeah.
Why?
Because
this
I said
not,
so.
That's not a good reason. Like, if a kid asks why, I answer the question why. Is that frustrating sometimes? Sure. Is there a point where my kid is asking why just to ask why and I recognize that and then we laugh together and I'm like, bro, and then we move on? Yeah, totally. But if my kid is genuinely asking me why, I'm going to tell them why because they're smart humans. And if they want to know why, they deserve to know why, right?
Yeah, but our oldest definitely, she gets to be a little whiny sometimes. God love her, you know, we abs 100% love her, but she is a little whiny butt occasionally, and you can tell her, hey, I need you to not do this because this will happen. Why? I just told you why, dude.
So here's the thing that I do, though, Jim. Because she does get whiny. All of them get whiny. But at the same time, the way I consider it is so do you and I. That's being a human.
No, I know.
Humans are whiny. Like, that's the thing is I think there's this unrealistic standard when we look at children where we say they should be happy all the time. They should be positive all the time. They're not allowed to have a bad day. They're not allowed to have a bad attitude. They're not allowed to ask why. But then we look at the way that adults are who are allowed to do all of those things. And I don't understand the double standard. It is a small human. They're learning to be human. We should have more patience with them. Like, I am more patient with the kids than I am with you. The kids leave something out. I'm like, hey, like, remember you're supposed to do this. And you leave something out. And I'm like, Jimothy, you are 36 years old.
You're that's true. You are softer at it than me because I'm just very direct. I'm stern, but I'm not mean about it. Because
right.
I'll say the stuff like, where do we eat? Hey, where do we eat? Or, you know, when
we have to give context for that because our kids like to eat wherever they are. Like
they
wander with the food and we're always like, we eat in the dining room or the kitchen.
That's why I come home every day and there are crumbs all over the couch.
That's probably for me, honestly. I do be eating on the couch.
Where do we eat, Tori?
On the couch.
Where are we supposed to eat?
Not on the couch.
That's right.
I'm a grown up.
You are not respecting me. This whole thing has just caved in on us. But my favorite thing. Oh, I'm sorry.
Continue.
I'm going to. my favorite thing to say to them is when they get up and they leave, like when she goes back to her room to go straight back to her iPad after dinner, and I'm still sitting there, you know, I'll call for her. I'm like, hey, are you done eating? And I'm like, yeah. Oh, I didn't know because you left your plate on the table. I thought maybe you were still snacking or something.
We live in a very sarcastic household.
Yeah.
But the fun thing is that's a thing that I always feel like I need to kind of like explain, because I think a lot of the things, the stories we tell kind of seem like, you guys kind of seem like jerks, but it's never to be mean. It is very much in a laugh with me way.
Yeah.
And if it seems we're very good at reading the room, because we do very much value and care for our kids' feelings. So if we're making a joke and our kid doesn't seem to get the joke, we are immediately going to change that tone and make sure that,
yeah,
like damage control, and also like let's reevaluate and handle the situation differently. But kind of like my standard as a parent is like when things go poorly, I'm like, let's make this funny,
yeah,
because that's funny to me. If I can laugh about it, then I can move on from it. And that's kind of what I'm teaching my kids. So we might be sarcastic with our kids, but our kids, they give it right back.
Oh, absolutely.
They are hilarious.
My second favorite thing to do with it is when I see her like cleaning her plate, and right after, I'll wait until right after she scoops into the garbage, like the last little remnants of food, I'll say to her, hey, are you done eating? And she'll look at me like, yeah. And I was like, oh, I figured so. Thanks for clearing your plate. Just making sure. just to keep her on her toes,
it's
every time.
We like to have fun with the kids. So, you know, we joke with them, they joke with us. And the funny thing is that their jokes are not great yet, but because they're trying, it's funny.
Yes.
It's just, you know, like, I feel like we talked about that on a previous episode. Like, the most common joke I hear in my life is knock, knock.
Who's there?
Banana.
Banana who?
Banana!
That, wow.
That's the whole joke.
Is she in the room with us? Wow.
That's the whole joke. And it's funny every time because she does a dance. Not that you can see it.
You can't see it. I like making her laugh with, I try to imitate her little butt dance that she does.
She does.
Where she like leads with her butt cheeks like forward. Like that's where her center of gravity is. And that's what I
taught them
that
move at our dance parties. That's what we do in our dance parties. We have them almost every day. What we do is we take turns and all of us have to come up with a funny dance move. And then we all have to emulate that, right? So we're all trying out each other's dance moves. So our three-year-old, she has her favorite dance move is the swim. And that's where we all lay on our bellies on the hardwood floor. And we kind of army crawl across the floor. It's
you
our
wallow
swim move, right?
Through the dirty hardwood floor, yes.
I came up and we call it the butt wiggle. And that's where you just do it too much. It's too big of a butt wiggle. And
oh, it's an excessive butt wiggle.
It's excessive, and it's hilarious. And I came up with it, and now it is a dance party tradition where
it's
we all do it, and we just crack up laughing.
Oh, yeah. It's like the Thriller dance.
Yeah.
But it's ours in our house.
Yes.
You should also teach the kids how to do Thriller dance now that we are in the middle of spooky season.
I should absolutely teach them to do that. Now, we did get a little sidetracked because we get excited talking about the kids.
We do get excited talking about,
yes,
things, and we're not respecting our listeners by staying on topic. So anyway, back to how we respect, yeah, the kids.
Right. But so basically, like the way that I see it is that if I want my kids to respect me, I have to respect them. And that means respecting their boundaries. How do we teach kids boundaries? We set boundaries with them and we let them set boundaries with us. And that's kind of a weird thing to try to explain. So in simplest terms, basically, like, say in the mornings, I am not a morning person.
No.
I need space in the morning. I am covered in babies all night because I don't ever have a moment to myself. So when I wake up in the mornings, I'm usually very tired and I am really anxious when I first wake up, and I can't really handle a lot of contact. But my three-year-old is a very clingy little baby, and her and I snuggle and hang out all day. She's the one keeping me up all night. So in the morning when I drink my coffee, she will climb up and try to climb in my lap. And part of it is like, I just really need some space. I deserve it as a person. And also, I drink really hot coffee and I don't want her or me to get burned.
Yes.
And so I will set that boundary. And I'll say, baby girl, I say, you can sit next to me, but not on top of me. Next to me. And she listens, you know, because this is just kind of our daily thing. And I think she continues to try every now and then because she thinks I'm going to change my mind one morning. And when I say sit next to me, she is still hip to hip. We,
yes,
are still completely,
it's
touching,
still,
but
full contact.
I don't have someone directly on top of me, and that's important to me. And so she is respecting my boundary in that way. But it's in the same way my kids, if they want to have tickles, they say, Mom, can you tickle me? And I will. until the second they say stop, and I stop.
They never tell me to stop. They won't tell me to stop. They make me keep going. I'm the one that has to be like, please stop. My hand is cramping from tickling your armpits.
But that's, and I think there's differences. And I think that's an interesting thing as well, is because I think a lot of times it's like, why do my kids treat my significant other differently than they treat me? Why do we have different relationships? Well, we're different people. We're going to have different relationships.
And I'm cooler than you.
I mean, no.
I think we're both the cool parent, honestly.
Yeah, for real.
Those kids are lucky.
With the kids, I do a lot of listening. When I was a kid, it was very much, if I ever had something to say and my mom didn't want to hear it, my dad didn't want to hear it, it was like, no, just stop. I don't want to hear it.
You could have told your brother.
Maybe. But, there was just very much of a silence, kind of still reminiscent of children should be seen and not heard. Like, if they weren't interested in what I had to say, I was immediately silenced. If I was being disciplined and was like, I think you're misunderstanding where I'm coming from, it was immediately silenced. There was
Stop back talking.
Stop back talking me. And how small that made me feel. Like, I couldn't, it's not back talking. I'm trying to have a conversation.
Yeah,
I'm trying to explain myself. But my parents had no respect for me as a child, because I was a child and I didn't know anything. I remember when I was a teenager, my mom would always say, oh, yeah, you know everything. I can't wait till I know everything like you. Like, she was such a jerk about it. Like, I don't think I know everything. Like, I remember thinking that. I don't think I know everything. I'm just trying to tell you what I'm feeling right now,
yeah.
You know? And so even with our kids now, it's like, if I'm like, hey, what are you doing this for? When I say, what are you doing this for? I don't mean like I'm scolding you for it. I literally mean, can you tell me why you're making the decision?
Yeah,
you're
like,
making?
What's the reason?
What
do you
here?
Think this is going to accomplish?
And if I'm upset about something and one of my kids says, hey, like, no, listen, I'm like, okay, like, I'm listening. I am open-minded. Like, I want to hear what you have to say, because I value my kids' opinions and their experiences and what they have, because they add value into my life. They add value into conversations. I don't care if it's my 3, 5, or 9-year-old. All of them add value into conversations. Like, our 3-year-old is so smart. Not everyone speaks her language, but I do.
I do a little bit. I'm conversational in it. I'm not fluent.
Yeah. Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. But that's especially with the 9-year-old, because sometimes I'm like, hey, like, I'm trying to do this one thing right now, and I would love to hear what you have to say, but I need to finish this task. So can you tell me in 10 minutes? And she'll say, well, I just have one thing left to tell you. And she'll say, okay. And she really just tells me one thing, and it's like a quick sentence. And
well,
I'm like, okay.
Sometimes that one thing is a 10 minute one.
Well,
thing,
if it comes to that, I will tell her, like, hey, I know this is a really in-depth thing, so can we put a hold in it? And that's kind of the thing, is with that respect, is I don't want her to think that I actually don't care. So if I have to tell her, like, let's put a pin in it, I will approach her when I'm ready and say, okay, I'm ready for you to tell me about this, because I respect her and I want to hear from her. Like, do I particularly care about every single thing that's ever happened in every chapter of every Warrior Cats book she's ever read?
Don't forget about every paragraph on every page.
Yeah. Like, no, I don't. I don't. But I care that she cares about it. So I want to listen. And it's a respect thing. I respect their opinions. I respect their boundaries. And I encourage the kids to set boundaries, because, like, I, as an almost 30-year-old person, struggle to set boundaries. I am, you know that, Jim.
No, unless it's in the morning before, don't talk to me before
I've
had coffee.
No, I'm not talking about, like, because with you and I have, like, a good relationship. I'm saying, like, with friendships and other relationships in my life, like, I can't say no to people. I'm like, even if it's inconveniencing for me, I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That I've seen. You are you're the healing friend. You're the, hey, I need advice, and I know you're not qualified to give it, but I'm going to complain to somebody, and you answered the phone, so now you're going to listen.
Yeah,
you're that friend.
I don't even, like, I don't want to complain about that.
Which,
because
again, it's not even you complaining about that. That's just something that's an observation
right,
for me.
And I'm not complaining about it, because
I would never tell anyone no.
I like that people trust me and come to me, but it's like, sometimes I'm like, I'm in a mental crisis. But I don't know how to set a boundary and say, can we talk about this tomorrow?
What is that? Is that being an empath? Is that what that is?
I don't know, man.
Are you just a pushover?
Probably.
Is that what this is?
Oh,
and I mean that with all due respect.
What I'm saying about that, though, is that when I was a child, I do believe if I was given the space to set boundaries, say no, and make decisions for how I spend my time as a child, and realize when things weren't good for me and to be able to space myself from them when I was growing up, but that would have benefited me now. And so I feel like by giving our kids and encouraging our kids, say no, set boundaries, do those things, it's only going to benefit them later on when they're grown-ups and those things are important to their mental health.
But Tori, how can you tell your kids to say no? Aren't they going to grow up and be entitled and not listen to their bosses or teachers?
No.
No? They're not going to listen to them?
Oh, no, they are going to listen to
them. I'm dad talking here.
They are not going to be entitled because I don't put my kids on a pedestal. So that's, I think, one of the things is that I respect my kids, and I know my kids respect me, because the thing is, when I do ask my kids to do things, they are compliant with that, because I explain to them, like, this is why we need to do this. Like, does my kid want to clean her room? No. No one wants to do that. But at the same time, we talk about it. Like, this is why it's important. And, like, don't you feel better when your room is clean? Do you need help cleaning your room? Okay, so here's what I'm going to do. And it really is age dependent. So like with the 3-year-old, I'm not going to ask her to do an independent task. I'm going to say, let's clean this up together. You pick up your stuffies and I will pick up this thing, right? With the 5-year-old, I can tell her, okay, start here. Start here. You pick up those stuffies first and then you pick that up. And I stay in the room with her, right? So that's more independent, but I'm guiding her. And with our 9-year-old, with our pumpkin pie, if she could just do it, and then she comes and I don't even ask her to ask me to check it, but she always is like, Mom, can you make sure that I did a good job and let me know if I missed anything?
Yeah, she does always come for the check.
And because she respects that is a respect thing. She doesn't have to do that, but she wants to do a good job. Like, that's valuable to her.
And I can't ever let her just think that she did a good job on her own. I always got to point something out. So just keeping her down a peg.
Timothy.
What?
That's so rude.
She did a great job.
So tell her.
I do tell her. Yeah, I just say, oh, yeah, you did a great job. You know, pick up that one sock that's out of place over there. Other than that, you're good. You can have your iPad, I guess.
But that's, I mean,
I'm mostly just joking there, honestly.
Yeah, yeah. I think that's it. We like to have fun around here. But that's...
We tell jokes.
We tell so many jokes.
We dabble in a bit of revelry.
But so I guess like what it comes down to, I feel like I'm talking in circles. That happens. But when we talk about like earning respect from our kids, you know, there's a process. We do have to earn it. We have to earn it every day. And when I was a kid, it was weaponized against me. Like, how can I trust you if you broke my trust? How can I trust you if you're hitting me? Like... You know, it goes both ways, bro. Mm-hmm. And so that's kind of the thing that I was keeping in my mind is that, like, trust and respect do go both ways in a parent-child relationship. And so I think that's what it is. If we scream at our kid, you need to respect me, are we stopping to consider, does our child know what respect is?
No, not at that point. Not a real version of it.
Even if we read them the definition, do they really know what that means? And so do I think my kids can define respect? No. But do I think my kids respect me? I know they respect me.
There's the difference is that our kids respect us, whereas you didn't respect your parents, you feared them.
Exactly.
There's not even a fine line. It's a mile freaking wide. It's
yes,
just some parents treat it that way.
Do you want your kids to fear you or do you want your kids to respect you? And
I want my kids to respect how much they fear me.
No. But I think that's going to play into your relationship with your kids when they're grown up. Because if they're afraid of you, they're not going to want to talk to you when they're grown-ups. They're not going to want you in their life because they're going to say, I'm done with this. But if they respect you, like, hey, cool, I trust you. I trust you and I respect you, so maybe I'm going to call you and ask for help. Like, I don't call my parents when I need help. I just kind of flounder and try to figure it out myself, you know? And
unless it's like automotive, you might call your dad.
Even then, like, I'm like, I'll just bring it to the shop nowadays. But I just always try to consider how I felt when I was a kid and I felt mistreated and misrespected. You know, like, I was screamed at and disciplined and punished, and there really was no respect for my parents. And it got to the point when we talk about, like, really angsty teenagers who are acting out, I don't think kids can be inherently bad. Like, something is going on there, whether it be something with their mental health because of how they were born or something. When I say how they were born, just like, you know, brain chemistry or like something is happening in their life. Like, I do not believe that kids can just be born bad. And so when I was a teenager, I made horrible decisions. I did horrible things. And a lot of that, honestly, it was my acting out. It was the teen angst. So my parents thought it was a me problem. But in reality, it was just like I would lie and hide things and do things just to spite them. because I didn't respect them. I didn't care about their opinions. I didn't care about any of it. And not only did I not care about it, but I was angry.
Yeah.
I was so angry for what my life was. And when you live in a house on fire, it's hard to believe that the whole world isn't on fire. So that's a quote I heard recently, and I really love it.
I believe it. I believe that you heard that quote somewhere.
Yeah, but so, I mean, like, growing up the way I did, that was my normal, and that's what I thought the world was like, and how hard that was for me. It got to this point of this teen angst acting out, because what did I care about? I wasn't being respected. I was being treated horribly, but demanded respect from, like, you have to listen to me. You have to do what I say.
You live under my roof. It's my rules.
When you pay the bills, you make the rules. I pay the bills now, and I make the rules, and they're a lot better than yours were, Mom.
I wish you'd let me pay the bills so I can make some rules. Gosh. Just one. I'll pay the gas bill.
Here is, in our home, there is no such thing as back talk. It's called a conversation. When tensions are high, instead of going for that power struggle route. Did you ever hear the word power struggle when you were growing up, Jim?
Yeah, because we watched the evening news every day, and there were a lot of conflicts in the Middle East. So I did hear the word a lot. Never used in my house for anything, because that's a word that involves emotional intelligence, and there was zero of that growing up in my household.
See, in my home, whenever I would get upset because I wasn't allowed to say my opinion, I wasn't allowed to do what I wanted, I was not a person, I was property of my parents. And so if I ever tried to talk back, you know, to have a voice, my mom would look at me and say, "This isn't a power struggle, I'm gonna win."
Like, did you ever get the, "Why do you act like this? I'm not, don't you talk back to me."
It's right. You close your mouth
when you're talking to me.
Right. So all of these questions are rhetorical, but if I don't answer, I'm ignoring you. Yeah. So literally, no matter what I do, I'm wrong.
If you don't answer it, then you're being disrespectful. If you do answer it, then you've got a sass mouth.
Right. Like there's literally, I think it's when parenting comes from a place of anger. I can understand it. Because parenting can be so incredibly frustrating, because we're dealing with our feelings and dealing with our kids' feelings, and it's such a selfless act to be able to do the gentle parenting thing.
Yeah.
Because you have to let go of how you feel for a moment. Not forever, because as parents, I still have feelings. Jim still has feelings. We get frustrated, but it's a very self-aware moment to not take that frustration out on the child.
Yeah.
It's to understand they are a child and they need to be parented, not screamed at. And so it takes a lot of self-awareness to do that. But when I was a kid, if I was upset about something, my mom would say, "Well, this isn't a power struggle. Like, I'm going to win." So there was no point in me ever trying to discuss anything with her, because I was never going to get anything I wanted. And so, like, in our home, there is no power struggle, because if one of my kids is upset, I'm not going to meet them there. And maybe I will, honestly, like, because I have feelings, like, maybe I'm upset too. But once I have that moment of self-awareness, because I feel like everyone, when you're really upset, you have that moment of self-awareness and you're like, why am I acting like this way right now? Like, why am I being like this?
I'm the kind of person who just says, nope, I'm in it. Double down.
Yeah, I know that. I know that. Jim and I have like a thing in our house when one of us is being a jerk, and we're like, "Can you just stop being a jerk right now?"
We used to say something,
and we're not going to say what we used to say because it's actually vulgar.
I don't remember.
I will tell you later.
Tell me off air.
It's vulgar. It's not offensive. It's vulgar. There's a difference.
Wasn't it an acronym or something?
Yep, it was. I'm going to text it to you right now. I'm going to text it to you.
All right. Let me play some hold music while you text me. Do 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 do. Skip it up, pop pop, Peter Paul. Respect. Skip it up, pop pop, Peter Paul. Ribbity sap it up, ba da ba. Oh yeah, that's what it was. Oh man, we got to bring that back.
We have to bring that back. But honestly, it's a way for Jim and I. This acronym I will not share. And again, it is not offensive or hurtful to anyone. It just has a vulgar word in it, so I can't say it here.
And this is a G-rated family podcast.
This is a G-rated podcast, so I can't say the word here because we don't cuss here. But
I'm gonna spell it for them.
No, we're not gonna do that. Okay, we're gonna say stop. All right, that's fine.
No, don't say the word. I'm gonna have to bleep this out. I don't have censoring tools on here.
But anyway,
let's go.
So we do this with each other because it is respect over pride in our house. So if one of us is being kind of a jerk, we will literally be like, hey, stop. And we have to be like, even if we're in a really grumpy mood, we take that moment to be like, you're right. And then there's that moment of like, yeah, I'm going to take accountability. Like, I am being a jerk, so I'm just going to take some space right now so that I'm not being mean. And that is so important. And our kids see that. Our kids see that with, like, it's this accountability. If one of us is being a jerk, we're like, I'm sorry, I'm being a jerk right now. And we see that from our kids, too, because that's their normal. And so there's no power to circle back. There was no power struggle ever, because if one of our kids is really elevated, like, I'm lowering my tone. I'm lowering that demeanor to, like, where that a productive communication and conversation can happen. Like, it isn't back talk. The kids need to be heard. And a lot of times when our kids are getting elevated and screaming, it's because they don't feel like they're being heard. So if we're meeting them there, like, I don't want to have a yelling match with a 9-year-old, you know?
Yeah,
so,
because they have those little fresh lungs. There's no way we're winning.
Not but even that's close. One of the things that I tell the kids is if they are really upset, like, hey, I'm talking to you. Can you talk to me? Can you talk to me how you want me to talk to you? Like, can we take a breath? Like, we can wait. We can wait to communicate. That's fine. But right now, how we're talking to each other, it isn't going to work and no one's going to feel better. And it's taking that moment because kids understand that. Kids are listening because their parents are, in a way, their world. You know, they are relying on us for everything. So
yeah.
If your kiddo is like really, really, really upset and you go and you meet them there, like, I understand how easy it is to do that. I don't want to shame anyone for it because I've done it too. But when you realize, like, why am I yelling at my kid who's yelling at me? You can just stop. Like, mid-sentence, you can literally just stop and you can reevaluate. Like, you don't have to finish that conversation right then. You can just take a break. It's okay to do that. And just figure out how you actually want to handle the situation. That's what I've done. And then, you know, we end up having that conversation and it's like, hey, like, I'm sorry if I was being a jerk. I'm sorry if I yelled at you. And the kids, they feel bad too, because they are kid. Like, kids have a full range of feelings. So they understand. And when you're coming to them and treating them like a full human, they're going to meet you there.
Yeah.
So instead of meeting our kids when they're at their worst and screaming back at them, like, let's get them to meet us where we want them to be.
Exactly.
And that's kind of just one of the things I do. And that's where that mutual respect comes from, because we don't use words to hurt people in this home. That is an important thing. Like, Jim and I cuss all the time, but we never use those cuss words to hurt somebody. Stupid is not a word that is heard in our house. Dumb is not a word. Like, we don't use hurtful words in our house, period.
Well, sometimes when I'm playing Rocket League.
Oh, my goodness. You in Rocket League. That's true. That is the time I'm, like, scolding Jim. I'm like, can you stop? I tell him, I treat him like how I treat the kids when they're yelling at their games.
And I deserve it because I act very childish when I'm playing online games.
I literally, the other day, I'm, like, doing something, and I was upstairs, and Jim's playing Rocket League downstairs. I literally went downstairs. I looked at him. I said, if you keep screaming at your game, we're going to have to take a break.
If you can't handle it, you're going to lose it.
If you can't handle your feelings while we're playing the game, we need to stop playing the game.
And I said, no, I don't wanna. I'm winning.
Yeah.
And you said it doesn't sound like it.
But really, like, what it comes down to, I think, is that, like, our kids wanna be heard. And when our kids respect us, they're more likely to listen. Like, even if they're not happy about it. Like, if my kid doesn't want to clean the room, they don't want to do their homework, like, whatever. If I can respect them and say, like, hey, I understand that this sucks that you have to do this. I am here for you. I'm empathizing with you. And I understand where you're coming from. I agree with you. They're more likely to do the thing. If I'm like, hey, I understand. It sucks to have to clean your room, but this is why we have to do it. Like, they clean the room. And there's no argument. Like, they can complain about it. I'm never going to stop my kid from complaining about a thing they don't want to do so long as they're doing it, you know? And even if they want to complain before they do it, like, that's venting. That's healthy. Like, I support it, you know? I treat my kids like humans. Like, they're not full-grown humans. They're not old humans, but they're totally formed humans.
They are fully formed. Well, I mean, they're growing. They'll get there.
Yeah, they'll get there. I mean, like, you know, they're people. They're people, too. I treat them like people.
Children are people, too. Wow.
Right.
Well, here's the thing that I think the biggest takeaway from all of this that I kind of get is, you know, there is the saying, respect is earned, not given. But I also think respect is earned, but in a lot of it, respect is learned. because they do see, really, they see what their behavior should be. And we want them to model their behaviors after us because kids are just a mirror of you. You know, what you say, the kids are going to say. That's why the Beanie Baby, the youngest, will come and she'll be like, I'm super frustrated.
Yeah. Like she'll say that. Frustrated, though.
She'll say, I'm so very frustrated. And it's like, that's okay. You can be frustrated.
That is okay.
Thank you for telling me that.
Yep.
So I think we're teaching them to be good. I think teaching them to feel feelings.
And that's the thing that I get too, is sometimes folks ask me, like, what about people in authority? How are you going to teach them to respect them? Well, I teach them to respect everybody. Literally, yeah. We teach them to respect everybody, no matter who they are, where they're from, whatever. Like, it's literally, it's a universal respect.
It doesn't matter who
respect.
You are, where you're like, from, what you've done, as long as you respect me.
But it's literally just that. It's, we start with respect. We treat people well with kindness. And then we kind of gauge what we should do next based on someone else's behavior, you know? And that's not to say we treat people badly if they treat us badly, but we can kind of determine how we feel about that person from then on. So, you know, my kids respect their teachers because their teachers are incredible people who deserve that respect, and they listen because they care and they know that listening to people in authority is important. But my kids are respecting, you know, authority figures in their life from a place of actual respect, not a place of obedience.
Yeah.
And I think that's important because it's a, like, a personal feeling of respect is a lot deeper than a place of obedience.
Of blind obedience to an authority figure.
Right. A place of fear, a place of obedience.
Yeah.
Our kids care. They're not afraid. And I think that's a beautiful thing.
That is very beautiful. And so are you.
Oh, so are you.
Oh, thank you. My hair matches yours, and we are twinsies. So.
And if you want to see our matching hair.
If you want to see it, you can check out our TikToks. You are at Tori Phantom on TikTok.
I am at Tori Phantom, at Tori.Phantom on Instagram, at Tori Phantom on Instagram. You find Tori Phantom on Facebook. I am Tori Phantom everywhere, friends.
I am at Jim Beard on TikTok. I am at Jimmy Nips on Instagram. I've started a new spooky aesthetic Instagram, at Jimothy Strange. I also have a second TikTok. It is at Jimothy Strange as well. I also have a Twitter.
I'm just finding out about this.
That's at Jimothy Strange. I haven't done a whole lot with them, just a little bit. I was starting to post a spooky fact of the day every day for Spooktober, but then that whole Facebook thing went down and I didn't get to post that day, and then I'm just incredibly lazy.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, though, if you just find me on TikTok, I feel like a lot of our friends are here from TikTok. Like,
yeah.
Take a look at my link tree. You
hey, they're lovely TikTok everywhere. Friends.
We love you.
It's there. You can find
it
all.
You just heard my phone hit the floor.
That was just the phone. You shouldn't be on your phone when we're having our
tics. I wasn't on my phone. My phone was on my lap, and it just slipped.
You barely have a lap. What are you talking
about?
That's
the problem. That's why I just fell off of my lap.
All right. So
anyway, you think we should put this thing to bed?
Now that you put your phone on the floor, let's put this thing to bed for sure. All right, sweetie. We're going to quiet down. Now we're going to stop dropping stuff on your face.
Let's take some slow, deep breaths.
Yes, now close your eyes and think about a bunch of sheep. Just think about what are those sheep eating?
Oh, I know sometimes it's hard to fall asleep, but we can count.
Oh, you can smell
the sheep?
You've never even smelled a sheep.
I hope